Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, where it is official. The Georgia Bulldogs are your national champions of college football with a dominant performance over Alabama. Defensively, they get it done. They win the first national championship since Herschel Walker was a freshman. Buck Ballou escapes with a big touchdown pass to Lindsey Scott to win it. Oh, it was some kind of run for Georgia back in 1980. Here they are in 2021, Georgia on top of the college football world.
Hard to believe it was that long ago since they last were able to call themselves champions. I mean, to your dominant, you know, it was a one-possession game and not a lot of scoring for much of it. So, you know, the final score is not indicative of the game that was played.
Defensively,
would be my
argument. Incredibly dominant. It looks like Bryce Young had a big night. He was bad. And the Georgia defense set the tone the entire night.
Dropping off the young receiver's hands. That's not on him.
The entire night. He was throwing off his back foot the
entire
night. That's
fine. If he's still hitting him in the hands, he's hitting him in the hands.
But he's not. He's not. He had a touchdown pass, but I'm not stepping into it. So instead, they kick a field goal. And instead of a lead, they wind up
down 13-12. That was a ball that he should have thrown better. Absolutely.
So many times.
But the ball on the drive before the interception, the play before, hits the freshman square in the hands.
So right, it
was a beautiful throw. That's a tie. They're going for two if that guy catches the ball.
There's your three-play run that tells you the game. Three plays in a row, Bryce Young threw deep. Two were really bad decisions because one was double coverage and one was picked off and run back for a touchdown. And one was dropped by a freshman. So you did have drop, but you had Bryce Young who had more than his chance to make plays, and they didn't do it. And the big thing is they didn't adjust. You know, Alabama's having trouble moving the football. And Georgia's defense is so fast. Look, both teams, their front sevens are so fast. And we didn't get anything different from Alabama. We didn't get them, okay, it's a one-score game. We can try to run the football a little bit. Nope, we're going to throw the football 80 times tonight to try to win this game. There was no adjustment. There was, let's go out there in the next possession and try to do the same thing. And let's try to do the same thing. It's insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's what it was for Alabama tonight. Georgia's defense was so good. They were in the backfield on every play. Alabama couldn't find a way to get Georgia blocked to give Bryce Young any time. Look, I know we're going to talk about, you know, different guys who can win MVP and, you know, who were the best player on this, but Georgia's defense and what they were able to do, that really was something, because to me, that was the game right there. Keeping Alabama off balance, and Bryce Young had no answers. They couldn't find a way to get downfield. This is an Alabama team that scored 18 points tonight. Okay, yes, Georgia's got a great defense, but this is not what Alabama usually does. And here they are tonight in the third game of the year, and it was Georgia who had all the answers, and Alabama didn't have any.
Expected the defensive struggle, and we certainly got it. How many pejoratives and anger sentiment did you see in your social media timeline of, oh boy, after that game Sunday night, this is what I got for a national title game. I got field goal kicking contest. Come on, where are the playmakers? And then it opened up a little bit. We had the odd fumble call that set up an Alabama touchdown. But all in all, I mean, the stats are going to look good. 51, I mean, you got over the total, that's for damn sure, of what was coming in expected. But some big plays, and can't say enough down the stretch also of what you got out of Stetson Bennett. I mean, the former walk-on, I mean, and certainly, you know, a lot of pictures of him on the field and teary-eyed as the clock struck zero. But his poise and able to make big plays in the face of adversity, because let's face it, they were flying around in his face just as much as they were Young on the other side.
Mm. Georgia making the plays. Look, Stetson Bennett did a better job getting the football in a spot for his receivers to catch it, and the receivers made plays, right? That's the whole thing, is that you could see a couple of plays. These are like Joe Burrow plays in LSU where he did such a great job. I'm going to put the football in a place where my guy can catch it. And yes, it's kind of a 50-50 play, but it's not really, because I know my guy's going to get there. And that's what Bennett did a couple of times, and it came through for him. And Georgia just couldn't find that. They couldn't find, and Alabama couldn't find that. And they couldn't find any sort of way even around it, because you'd think at some point, okay, let's stop. What we're doing isn't working, right? We're kicking field goals. We're not getting in the end zone. What is happening? What do we need to do to figure things out? Do we need to bring a tight end in? Do we need to keep a running back in? What do we need to do to give Bryce Young time to move the ball down the field? What do we need? And it was the same thing. And Alabama just kept with the same. We're going to try to throw the same kind of plays. You're going to chuck the ball down the sideline. And there was no strategy other than just, we're going to keep throwing the ball down and hoping that we get something. That's why I say it was kind of like the Super Bowl when I'm watching the Chiefs and Mahomes go, why are there no jet sweeps? Why is there no crazy play to get the ball to Tyreek Hill? Why is there nothing that's trying to help the Chiefs out moving the football? Instead, it's the same thing. Mahomes running around and throwing the football 50 yards downfield. Oh, that's not working tonight. And you need to do a little bit more. And this tells me that the Georgia coaching staff was more prepared and knew what to do when they were imposing their will on the game. And they adjusted because Alabama's defense was terrific, right? They were able to do the same kind of things. But Georgia found a few more holes in that defense than they had. So Georgia was able to make those plays. Alabama had no ways to adjust. You know, defensively, the guys just got tired at the end because they're on the field all the time. It happens that way. But offensively, there was just nothing for Alabama. Not that they need to suddenly change for, but you got to do something a little bit different, something to try to juice the team a little bit and get the football downfield. You know, maybe it's a couple of design runs for Bryce Young, because if they're coming down the way, you know, or maybe it's more delayed handoffs that, you know, through a hole. There's got to be something. And I didn't feel there was any creativity by Alabama to try to make this anything different. And Georgia says, this is what's working. We're just going to keep doing it, and we're gonna beat you that way. And they did.
Yeah, I think as you go on, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot goes on the loss of Williams when you did, because you look at, you know, two of your big receivers that you've counted on all year. And look, injuries are part of the game in the next man up theory. But on this stage, a freshman that has two receptions, as they had with one, Ja'Cory Brooks, who I've called out, you know, because of the miss down the field, the big shot that Young took, got past the corner that was guarding him, safety wasn't there. It's a ball that, you know, maybe a veteran receiver makes that play. But you're talking about a guy who only had 9 receptions all season coming in. So some of that comes in terms of you're still trying to make big plays. The run game, they still ran the ball a total of 28 times for 30 yards. Right? So you're getting nothing. Now you start thinking about the screen game and hoping for over pursuit, things of that nature. I suppose you get into that a little bit, and we saw it in spurts, but most of it was trying to attack downfield, the stepping off the back foot, because if you heard the analysis on the television broadcast, like off his back foot was in part of the call.
Yeah.
Right? It used to be for me with Northwestern, yeah. It was the ball carrier seemed to be a guy's last name, whether he was running against you or our Northwestern back. So, like, when we played Wisconsin, it was Ron Dane, the ball carrier. And you heard it 40 times because that's all they did behind that 320-pound-per-man offensive line. Same thing here. It was off his back foot, and a couple of times, like, all right, step into the throw. Like you said, with the end zone throw, that was certainly one, you know, the old he'd like to have that one back kind of mentality. But a number of times put the ball on guys' hands, and in the end, they didn't make plays. Not a lot of separation, not a lot of room for error in a game like this. And Georgia made, what, 2 more plays. That's all. That's what the game comes down to. And an interception where a guy could have slid, and they would have knelt out, and that would have been the end of it. Instead, it's a 15-point margin of victory.
Now, what gamblers made out on that, Mike Harmon? Because this is where I go to you for that guy. If they had kneeled, who got taken out because Georgia went in for the touchdown on
it? I don't know what the over-under was officially going into the game, and certainly live betting, not sure. But that's something we could find out really quick.
All right. Now, the thing is about this game, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, is that coming into this game, Alabama was number one, Georgia number three, because of Alabama's victory in the SEC championship game, a very un-Georgia-like game, right? They gave up 41 points. It was a big shock. It was a great game plan for Alabama. And I don't know if Alabama thought, okay, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way. Georgia had the adjustment. But overall, the best team from the beginning of the season to the end won. Right? It's not like we saw that. Right. I mean, Georgia was the best team to start, right? They win the first big marquee game of the year, right? They beat Clemson 10-3 when Clemson was number three. Now, Clemson turned out to not be very good at all this year, but that was the opening week when we said, oh, boy, Clemson's or Georgia's defense is legit. And then you saw go on the way. They had a quarterback change. But even so, Georgia was still the best team. They were number one for so long, all the way until the end, the SEC title game. They won games big. They put points on the board. They kept teams off the board. They were the best team. It was the seeding because they lose in the SEC title game, but I still always felt coming in, Georgia's the better football team. Georgia has been better. They've been better all year than Alabama. Alabama started out like they were going to be terrific, but Georgia clearly was better. This was almost like, even though it wasn't, it was almost like wire to wire. A team we thought was the best the first week of the season turned out to be the best team at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's not often we're able to say that. I mean, obviously, we talk about the NBA a lot and the running joke that we had of, all right, there's the whiteboard in the corner of the Fox Sports Radio studios. And it would be, all right, put up the teams that can compete. And we'd struggle to get that fourth or fifth team. Now, you always had to put a fourth just because, well, someone's got to be the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, I guess. Or a third team from the West if you wanted to do that. But otherwise, you weren't getting very deep on that list. In this case, it was, all right, here's Georgia, and we watched this defense throughout the season. And look, the offense made plays. I certainly don't discount them, but let's call it what it is. Throughout the season, any headline started with, once again, the Georgia defense, ... insert all stats on turnovers, sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback pressures, you name it, it was there. And look, we've been writing down the guys 40 times, watching them fly around the field today, saying, hey, top 10 pick for him too, right? Wait, they can't all be there, but they're all going to be close. But to your point, yeah, it's one of those. It's anticlimactic to a degree, but it's still 41 years since they last hoisted the trophy, and it sends Nick Saban to defeat in the age of NIL stepping in. Now we watch how the machines work.
Yeah, it's great that NIL stepping in, and who wins the game? It's a walk-on quarterback. Right, so for all the NIL, we'll get this guy coming. We get a five-star guy. Look, yeah. You got Bryce Young, who's a millionaire already. You know, he's got the Heisman Trophy and everything. You had a walk-on quarterback beat him. So for the age of NIL being, hey, we have to do this or we're dinosaurs. Not always. You can still.
Well, the world ain't changed.
Those teams.
The world's just starting to change. I mean, this is Jurassic World, like Jeff Goldblum warned.
Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. No one does sports like Vegas, and the excitement is endless. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. Right now, Kirby Smart on television talking about Georgia's national championship as they win it all. And look, a dominant performance by Georgia here. Defensively, they played really, really well. Already you're seeing, oh, I like Alabama for next year. That's the big thing about Alabama is no matter what kind of year they have, they could win the national title. They could lose in the national title game. They can lose in the playoffs. The first thing people are going to say is, I like Alabama to get back and win it next year.
Of course.
I mean, that's what it is when you can run a program like that. Oh, no, I still like Alabama to win next year.
Who's coming back? Doesn't matter. How many guys are leaving for the draft? Doesn't matter. How many guys into the transfer portal? Doesn't matter. Over-under was either 52.5 or 53 in terms of pregame betting. Now, in-game, there's no doubt, based on the early futility, you probably could have put a couple of bucks down in looking at the over, hoping that there'd be a little of an explosion or one of these defenses would score to get yourself to the winner's circle.
Wow. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If you're having trouble starting your car, AutoZone will test your battery for free and help you find the issue so you don't spend money on parts you don't need. With over 5,600 AutoZone locations nationwide, AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Well, we're going to go live to the national championship coming up in about 15 minutes to get all the breakdown. Keep it right here as we continue to talk. Georgia, your national champions, 33-18 over Alabama. Jason and Mike, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Georgia, your national champions, defeating Alabama 33-18. The game clinched by Kelee Ringo with his interception return for a touchdown. 79 yards. Looked like the entire team was blocking for him. And I mean guys off the bench on that run back to clinch the national championship for the Bulldogs, their first national title since Herschel Walker got them there in 1980. And joining us now on the hotline is the man of the hour, Kelee Ringo. Kelee, congratulations, man. How does it feel? You're a national champion.
Thank you so much, man. It's a huge honor to be in this position with my team. It's been 4 years since it's been done. So as you know, I'm really blessed, and I'm thankful for everything that's been given to me.
All right, I got to ask you this. Did you have any thought of just going down and kneeling down instead of running it back for a touchdown at the end?
A lot of the people on the sideline told me that Kirby was telling me to get down. The only thing I seen was green on the field, so I knew I could try to get to the end zone and seal the game.
So that means you owe him a wind sprint or two when you guys reconvene, huh?
Oh, I think we might have lost him there for a second. We got you back? Oh, Kelee, we got you back?
I'm sorry, can you please repeat the question?
Oh, no, it was just the joke of when you guys reconvene, you'll probably have to do a lap or two or maybe a couple of up-downs. I mean, what's Coach going to make you do, or is he just give you a hug and say, hey, good job?
No, he can't hear. He's having
all
a tough
right,
time.
No, we're having difficulty. I mean,
it's
look,
loud
a lot of
is right now.
It's a loud stadium. You're still seeing the shots there, confetti. Everybody kind of grabbing a pocketful to remember this moment. Let me tell you, just a big, big night. And that play, as you asked it, right, 79 yards. He had a convoy and some big hits. I want to see the all 22 of guys getting laid out to make that play come to fruition.
I like how he said there at the end, yeah, Kirby was telling me to go down.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, so that's the throwaway joke to get talking about the looseness. I mean, because, look, some coach would be
– Yeah, Kelee, we got you back now?
Yes, yes.
I know it sounds crazy. Hey, have you heard what it sounded like, the play-by-play of your run back? You want to hear it?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead, play it for him, Darn.
Side, then they reverse it with Billingsley. Back to the right. Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Intercepted. Kelee Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks the tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia, let the celebration begin.
So you can make that your ringtone now, right? I'd have that on my phone for the rest of my life. I think we lost him again.
There it is again. That sounded really good, though.
But I really would make that my ringtone. Like, if had intercepted, and it would be the entire thing. It's like, Keeley's phone went up. Wait, we got to hear the whole call again. There
he is,
50,
he
40,
is. Yeah.
30, 20. There, the convoy down the sideline. It's like me hearing the butt fumble all the time when Tyshirt plays it all the time.
No, that's true. I mean, sometimes overdone. That one, I don't think you could ever get tired of. Think about this, though. Red shirt freshman.
Yeah.
National you know his, title holder.
his Wikipedia page has already been updated. You know what it says? You ready for this?
Yeah, so, what do you got? Who does he own?
No, Kelee Ringo missed his first season at Georgia in 2020 due to a labrum injury and took a redshirt, right? Became a starter during his redshirt freshman season in 2021. On January 10th, 2022, he sealed the Georgia National Championship with an interception return for a touchdown, and he now will get free anything he wants when he gets back to Athens.
No, that sounds about right.
That's his Wikipedia page.
Free stuff. I mean, now
it's
NIL.
But now it's NIL, though. People get free stuff all the time.
Think about that. I mean, what can we do, if you're him, with his team? I mean, there's all sorts you can do with merch and NFTs and local deals. I mean, come on now. I mean, track shoes. Because he was blazing down the field.
Man. Oh yeah,
that was a runaway train right there. I mean, that was so amazing.
Nobody in Alabama is going to touch him. It's like when you like on Tecmo Bowl when you were one of those video games where you're
Bo
running
Jackson.
For a touchdown and the guys are coming to tackle and they're just getting popped and they're flying off the screen. That's what that play was. Yeah. It was no one's going to touch him.
Just trying to figure out what other deals you can have locally there. In Georgia. That's the play.
Ooh, right?
The rest of it's amazing. Stetson Bennett came up with some big plays. His story, we're watching the Kurt Warner story in theaters right now. I mean, obviously a lot going into Bennett, depth chart and rising up and having this opportunity. And even in game, some conversation, amongst the talking heads. Certainly not us. Like, Garrett, what's he doing that you're not liking? But, of whether you needed to go to the bullpen.
Yeah.
And you didn't. And made some big plays down the stretch, put the ball, and made the perhaps over-anxious Alabama defenders got a little grabby. And made some plays, got lost in coverages, and give Kirby Smart and his staff great credit for the situations they created. But, the return by Ringo, come on. That's stuff for the ages to finish off a game.
Stetson Bennett with a cigar in his mouth celebrating the national championship as we go to a guy who probably has a cigar in his mouth as well. It is Pete Futek, college football insider, grand poobah, owner, proprietor, collegefootballnews.com, your one-stop shopping for college football, with us now from the national championship. Pete, what's happening, man?
I just came off the field. There's a whole lot more being smoked on that field than cigars, I can tell you that. There's a pretty solid waft from that crowd of people who decided to celebrate in the stadium.
Well, that's okay. It's a celebration, right? It depends where things are legal and where they aren't. So, in Indiana, I would have to look and see what's legal and what's not, but maybe we can find a way around that.
If you win a national championship, you are allowed to smoke things in Lucas Oil Stadium. So I think that is the rule.
Do whatever you want. Kirby Smart said they're going to be tearing stuff up around Indianapolis tonight in his postgame. So, hey, we just get to it there. Speed for days and really just harassing young all night, but it all changes on a big injury to Williams, Pete, trying to find new options to step up.
Yeah, you hate to put this on that and say that's a difference maker, but it was. You don't lose a weapon of his caliber. And, look, it's usually the thing about Alabama where, you lose a guy and you bring up the next freshman up who's going to be an NFL star in 3 years. And, they certainly have guys. They certainly have talent, but Jameson Williams was the guy on that field. He was probably the best player. He's not Evan Neal on the field. To lose a guy like that is just an absolute killer. But look, give it up to Stetson Bennett, though. He was awful. He was absolutely awful. And JT Daniels was warming up on the sidelines. And you could say, look, they got to do something because it was not working. And then Alabama gets the score. And then it was just kind of like, all right, enough. Let's just start balling already. And he just, threw a couple key passes and just threw a heck of a ball for that touchdown. And then all of a sudden you can kind of hear the place change. It was really kind of crazy. It was about 70-30 Georgia fans. And it was a nervous cheer all night long. And all of a sudden, it all kind of shifted to be like, yeah, let's go. And it was a whole lot more confident right after that.
Pete, watching this, the lack of adjustment by Alabama to everything Georgia was doing defensively was kind of stunning. They were in the backfield, and Bryce Young is throwing off his back foot, and Bill O'Brien still calling the same plays. Was this Alabama not adjusting? Was this Georgia with a better game plan? What was it?
I actually like their game plan because their defense was holding. Bennett wasn't doing anything. So I kind of like the – I didn't even look at the stat, but the time of possession had to be crazy Alabama because they just kept going like 3 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards, and just kept converting third downs. All right, they kept settling for field goals, but they controlled the clock, and you can kind of see the second half that all of a sudden that offensive line was starting to take over. And then what happened is they panicked. It was they got them deep, and for the first time all game long, all they had to do is just kind of keep grinding it out. Brian Robinson was starting to work, and what did they do? They threw deep on first down, missed. Threw deep on second down, missed. And then it was third and long, and then all of a sudden Georgia gets the ball back in good territory, and then everything just sort of changed. That was the one time that they went away from script, and it cost them.
Just a 3-minute differential when it was all said and done, Pete, in time of possession, which wouldn't have expected. 9 of 20, third down efficiency for Alabama. To your point, yep. Much more in the second half, a bit of an adjustment there after a sluggish first half. But for Georgia, you got a lot of freshman contributors, including Ringo, you know, the redshirt freshman who returns it for a touchdown. So, you know, it's just the beginning of the vexation of Nick Saban.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of funny to be around here because I ran into a bunch of different of my Alabama media people who I've known and met and hung out with and drank with over the years. And to a man and one woman, they kind of said, yeah, we kind of think Georgia's going to win. Like, it was kind of a matter of fact that, like, this is not, in a crazy way, this is not his best team. You know, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. They had the great game in the SEC Championship. They also struggled against Auburn. They also struggled against Florida. You know, they struggled against Arkansas and putting away LSU and lost to Texas A&M. This is certainly a great team. It wasn't last year's team. Look, they lost the New England Patriots starting quarterback. They lost the Pittsburgh Steelers starting running back. They lost Waddle. They lost Smith. Even Alabama has a hard time getting over that. And he still almost won the national championship with it.
You know, the thing is, Pete Futek with us, collegefootballnews.com, from the national championship in Indianapolis. What I think a lot of college football fans watch tonight, and it's an impressive thing, and it's also so disheartening, is that you watch these two teams that are so good, and you go, my goodness, the speed of the front seven on both of these teams defensively is insane. It makes you go, my team is never going to be able to do this. Like, both Alabama and Georgia, their front seven, they're all so fast, Pete, and it's just, you watch and you go, it's like watching a video game on speed up.
It's the argument I have to have every single year when I have to say that, yeah, the SEC is just better. Why? All those five-star guys, they're five-star guys because not because they're just good football players, but because they all look the part. But because every single one of these guys on both teams, except for maybe Stetson Bennett, looks and plays like a perfect NFL prospect. That's just the type of level of talent that these teams are able to get. And you're right. It's just not the same game. And, you know, look, the guys who were around me were just kind of marveling to it. And look at on both sides. My God, the pass rushers and the way those guys were flying all over the place. I mean, these are really smart quarterbacks. Bryce Young doesn't screw up. I mean, he is not he is the coolest guy in the room, and he was under pressure because those guys looked like they were shot out of a cannon going after him. You're right. You saw it against Michigan. You saw it against Cincinnati. It's when these guys are on, forget it. They just don't have, because those teams just don't have the five-star talent. You can't just, you know, when they're trying, when they're really into it, you can't clutch these teams when they're that good.
Pete, I was thinking we could maybe do a mock draft with both defenses and fill out half of a first round.
I watched the first time, like, I think since it happened, the 2018 national title, and like looking up and down at Alabama and Georgia teams. I mean, you know, just starting with the quarterbacks and then Najee and Devontae and Waddle and, you know, Chubb and Michelle. Like, you could really put together a great NFL team just off those two teams, and these two teams certainly have that as well.
All right, Pete, before we let you go, this is what happens right after. This is the best part for Alabama, right after the national championship. They could win, they could lose, they could lose in the playoff, and everybody says, I like Alabama to win it all next year. Give me a couple teams. Look, Alabama and Georgia, clearly they're going to get a lot of runs. So is Ohio State. Give me a couple of teams that if things fall right, you can see them in the college football playoff next year?
Does Caleb Williams end up at USC? I mean, that's it. I mean, that's it sounds easy.
What if Charlie Batch gives him that $1 million, though?
Exactly. But look, USC coming into this year actually had a whole lot of talent. It just all went wrong really fast. And then now Lincoln Riley, with the talent that they have in place and that coaching staff, and if they get Caleb Williams, not like they're playing against the SEC West or the Big Ten East. You know, Pac-12 South, very gettable. It's very easy for a team of that caliber to get to 12-1 Pac-12 champion and into this playoff thing next year and do some damage potentially. But that's really the team. But look, I do it every year because it's just a great ratings grabber. But, of course, I'm going to do the top 25 for next year early sometime this week. It's a guess. I mean, all these guys are changing. Until we know the transfer portal, until Harbaugh decides where he's going, then, you know, he's going to be a Bear, a Raider. Where is he going to be? It's hard to do these top 25s more than ever because these are so in flux at the immediate moment.
He's on Twitter, at Pete Futek. That is at Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. From the site of the national championship, check out Pete's site for everything you need. Your one-stop shopping for college football. Pete, thanks so much. Enjoy the night, whether you go to Steak and Shake or not. And we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks so much.
You have a good one, guys.
You're the best. Right. See you, Pete.
Great stuff there from Pete Futek. Look, it is quite that simple for USC, right? Just for a second. If Caleb Williams goes, they had a lot in line. We find out today Jackson Dart is in the transfer portal. So as soon as Lincoln Riley was announced, Jackson Dart's the happiest guy in the world. Jackson Dart's in the transfer portal.
Told you're the guy for now.
Yeah, and for now I mean the next 8 days until Caleb Williams decides.
We're working a deal, exactly.
It could be USC. It could be that simple for USC next year in the national championship. But coming up next, the odds are already out to win it all next year. And what we could see next year might be something we haven't quite seen in the college football playoff in a long, long time. We'll tell you what it is coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Georgia the champs. What about next year? This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas. The greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. Just really quick on this before we get to the odds for next year in the national championship. We're going to hear from Nick Saban as well coming up in a few minutes. Is that, you know, when Alabama won the national title, and at halftime, Nick Saban had to bench Jalen Hurts and went to Tua Tagovailoa. And whoa, 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 did that change everything, right? Tua becomes a starter. Hurts goes to Oklahoma. It's a real gutsy thing to say, this is the guy who's been with us all year, and we have to sit him because it's not working. Just as gutsy is being able to say, no, Stetson Bennett's going to win this game for us. We got 5-star guys on the bench, including JT Daniels, who had the job until he got hurt, and everybody is screaming to put him in the game. Oh, it's not working. Georgia's not scoring. We got to go back to JT Daniels. They stick with Stetson Bennett. He has a big second half. The Georgia wins a national championship. So, you know, it's gutsy to make the call, and it's also gutsy to not make that call when you say, this is the kid who's done it for us all year, and it's we're not losing. We don't have to make the change. It's a close game. It's a one-score game. This kid can lead us through it, and he did, and they wound up winning the game.
Well, especially after the fumble, not fumble, right, that was later converted into a 16-yard touchdown drive for Alabama. I still argue that it looked like a pass to me, but it is what it is. They called it a fumble on the field and upheld it. But for Stetson Bennett, it would have been very easy to fold. Could have been easy for Kirby Smart. There was your ability to give the hook right there. Instead, goes back to him, and not only do they go downfield, like they passed a lot. And really took some shots downfield and got a couple of penalties, right? Forced the issue, but the 40-yard touchdown strike was a beautifully thrown ball I mean, that was it. So you're looking at a guy that looked like he was getting ready to head to the bench, and in relief, maybe you got the other side of it happening, as you pointed out with Tua and Hurts, and instead you got a guy who becomes one of these storybook movie premises that we'll probably see on a screen from Disney in 5 years.
I mean, really, this is a walk-on who keeps the gig over five-star guys and wins the national championship. I mean, it really is something. And to stick with him when it's not going, hey, that's a big move by. Even though every time I see Kirby Smart, he's yelling at Stetson Bennett on the field. There's never any hate great play. He's just screaming at him the entire time. Every time I look, he's screaming at Stetson Bennett.
I got to wonder if part of it is he just can't hear. Right, I mean, he's just got to scream louder. I mean, look, Matthew Stafford won a title today with Georgia.
Oh yes, congratulations, Matthew Stafford.
Well, remember one of the great quotes coming out of yesterday when we were passing around the photos from SoFi was that it was pretty much all 49er fans. Stafford after the game, and they reiterated today. It's like it was really loud, tough to hear and communicate out there. It's like it was a home game. So maybe Kirby Smart was having trouble here, even though it was, as Pete Futek told us, maybe a two-thirds or better Georgia crowd, that it was just so loud that he had to scream at him. That's what I'm going to stick with, that it was tough love.
Okay, tough love is tough to hear. You have to make a better play.
That was a terrible decision.
The odds to win next year's college football playoff are already out, and this is the best thing about the odds there. Because, look, clearly, as Pete Futak, who joined us from the national championship, told us, who knows how it's going to go. Guys are in the transfer portal. Harbaugh may or may not stay at Michigan. But here are your teams right now that are favored to go, right? Alabama is number one, like they always are, right? No matter what they do, they're always favored, right? Georgia's number two. Ohio State is 7-1. Clemson is 12-1. Oklahoma, 15-1. Michigan 15-1, USC 20-1, and then Notre Dame 25-1. So you're talking about the absolute top blue bloods of college football. Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Michigan, USC, and Notre Dame. Those are the top eight teams overall. When you say who are the best teams in college football year in, year out, that are the most popular, that are the biggest heritage teams in the game, those are your teams. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, Michigan, USC, Notre Dame. Those are your teams who are the favorites to get to the college football playoff and win it. Can you imagine a combination of any four of those teams making it into the national championship? And it's not, Cincinnati sneaks in, or Baylor sneaks in, or Oklahoma State sneaks in. No, you are talking about the top of the top are all the ones favored ahead of everybody else to make it to the national championship next year.
Yeah, if you're feeling a little bit frisky, you might want to get on that USC at that level right now if you're going to get 20-1.
I can't believe they're 20-1. I mean, you'd think they would have the odds lower just because of the potential of Lincoln Riley and what he can do at USC. I can't believe he can get USC at 20-1.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the Fox Bet app as we speak to see how that is updated here in the moment. But it's one of those, if that's where it's at, take the shot that he's going to get that one more transfer, whether it is Caleb Williams or somebody else that finds their way there. But to your point, the perennial blue bloods, historical colleges, and we'll see a shakeup here in the next week or two. So if you like some of those futures odds, bet responsibly, but maybe you've got an opportunity to find yourself a little bit of a long shot based on the current odds and landscape.
But, man, that's the Caleb Williams, who already knows the system, can come right in. There's no adjustment period. While some of the players will be learning something new, your quarterback's not. Ooh, USC at 20-1. Ooh, ooh.
Now you're going Twitter. Flintstone. Bet.
Coming up next, what did Nick Saban have to say following the Crimson Tide's defeat? You will hear from him on Fox.